This is Time for Kids, the April 12th, 2024 edition. It's a double issue, Earth Day, trash or treasure. Crabs are getting creative with plastic pollution, which is a growing threat to wildlife. On the cover is a picture of a hermit crab wearing a plastic cap instead of a shell for his protection. I'm Jane Malucci, a volunteer reader for Chris. Page 2, News Briefs. At the top of the page is a banner picture of the Jefferson Memorial with cherry trees all in bloom at the base of the memorial and a crowd of people looking at the trees and the memorial. The caption reads, Blossom Festival. Every year, Washington, D.C. hosts the National Cherry Blossom Festival. Headline, Early Blossoms by Christina Fernandez. Cities such as Tokyo, Japan, and Washington, D.C. get millions of tourists every spring during cherry blossom season. The blooms mark the return of warm weather, but the trees are blooming earlier and earlier. This is an indication of increasing global temperatures. In the 1960s, cherry trees in Tokyo started blooming around March 29th. Between 1991 and 2000, the average was closer to March 24th. Last year, the blossoms in Tokyo began earlier than anywhere else in Japan on March 14th. The fact that Tokyo recorded the earliest start date is due to global warming, compounded with urbanization, Daisuke Sosano told Bloomberg News. Sosano works at the Japan Meteorological Agency. Climate scientists have additional concerns. Cherry trees need the winter chill before waking up in the spring. Without sufficient cold, the trees may produce fewer flowers and fruits. Climate change is also affecting cherry trees in Washington, D.C. There, rising levels of the Potomac River and crumbling seawalls have flooded the trees' roots. More than 150 of the affected cherry trees will be cut down so the walls can be fixed. This summer, the National Park Service, NPS, will begin repairing the seawalls. Then, 277 cherry trees will be planted in the area. The removed trees will be mulched. NPS spokesman Mike Litterist says the mulch will protect the roots of surviving trees and break down into rich soil, so it's a good second life for the trees being cut down. In the lower right corner, a flooded tree standing on the edge of the Potomac. The caption reads, Stumpy's Last Spring. One tree being removed is Stumpy, a social media phenomenon. Stop and think. Why did the editors choose these two photographs to publish? Can you think of other images that would help tell the story? Page 3. Excellent! On April 1st, TFK Kid reporter Audrey Owolo went to the White House Easter egg roll in Washington, D.C. She interviewed presenters such as space expert Emily Calandrelli below. There are two pictures, first of the reporter, and then a photo of the reporter interviewing her subject. On the right column, want to write for TFK? Apply now. Think you have what it takes to report on a story like this one? The TFK Kid Reporter Contest is now open. Apply for a chance to report for our magazines and website. TFK editors will choose up to 10 students to be TFK Kid Reporters for the 2024-2025 school year. To apply online or by mail, ask a parent, guardian, or teacher for details. Learn more at timeforkids.com/kid-reporter. Kid of the Week? Anyandal Charavara, 11, Costa Rica. There's a picture of Arundel on the lower left. The caption reads, Arundel inspires kids in Costa Rica to help protect the planet. What does being an activist mean? Why did you become one? It means pushing others to take action. I'm looking to help kids get motivated to take action for the environment. When I was 4, I found a plastic bottle at a river near my house. I knew it didn't belong. That caused me pain. How do you motivate kids to join you in your mission? I explain to them that even though they're small, they can make a difference. Caring for nature is not boring. It's something fun. How does pollution affect you? The contamination in the rivers where I live is bad. Increases in water overflow have destroyed houses and other establishments. How do you imagine Costa Rica will be in 10 years? I imagine Costa Rica will be very clean. People will be educated to care for the environment. Parents will teach their children, and their children will teach their children, so we can have a cleaner planet. Interview submitted by TFK reader Vivian Goldhirsch. Know a kid who's doing something cool or newsworthy? Nominate them to be a TFK Kid of the Week. Send us your suggestions at tfkeditors@time.com. Page 4, cover story, environment. At the top of the page is a hermit crab who has taken a pen cap as his shell. Right below that on the left is another hermit crab who has adapted a glass jar as their shell. The large picture on the right shows a hermit crab who is living inside of a bottle top. And on the lower left is a picture of a hermit crab living as they're supposed to, with a shell as their protection. The caption reads, "Temporary housing. Hermit crabs wear shells left to protect their soft bodies from predators. Recently, they've been seen wearing human-made objects made of plastic, glass, and metal." At the bottom of the page, two volunteers cleaning up a beach. The caption reads, "Cleanup. Volunteers work to clean up beach litter. Pollution in our waterways is harmful to wildlife." Power words for this article: geologic, adjective, relating to the age of rock and its history. Icon, noun, someone or something that has important meaning. Page 5. Headline, creative crabs. Hermit crabs in the wild are ditching their shells and finding new homes in our plastic litter. Plastic is everywhere. According to the United Nations, enough plastic waste to fill 2,000 garbage trucks is dumped into waterways such as oceans, rivers, and lakes each day. There's plastic litter at the bottom of the ocean and on top of Mount Everest. Now plastic has been found in another unlikely place, on the backs of hermit crabs. According to a study published in February in the journal Science of the Total Environment, hermit crabs are using plastic litter as shells. Susanna Jagiello is a biologist at the University of Warsaw in Poland. She's the study's lead author. "For me, a hermit crab in a plastic shell could be an icon of our times," Jagiello told Time for Kids. "They don't have homes, so they use rubbish." Jagiello studies the Anthropocene age. That's the geologic age we're in now. Scientists define it as the period in which human activity has had a major impact on the environment. Hermit crabs using plastic waste as shells is one example of that impact. New homes. Hermit crabs are small, soft-bodied crabs that live near oceans. To protect themselves from predators, the crabs typically wear seashells that have been left behind by dead sea snails. But according to February's study, at least 386 hermit crabs have been documented wearing garbage. Of the world's 16 species of hermit crabs that live on land, 10 have been seen wearing trash. Nearly 9 out of every 10 of those crabs were wearing plastic waste, such as bottle caps. The others wore glass or metal, such as broken light bulbs or soda cans. Jagiello says she and her team first learned about hermit crabs wearing garbage when they noticed photos of them posted online. They decided to learn more by conducting research, see internet ecology. For their study, the researchers scanned the internet for photos of hermit crabs wearing trash. They found photos from all over the world. Some had been taken by scientists. Some had been taken by nature photographers. Many had been taken by people who were just curious. What does it mean? Scientists aren't sure why hermit crabs are choosing litter instead of snail shells, but they have theories. Some sea snail populations are declining. Hermit crabs could be turning to litter because they can't find enough seashells. It's also possible that crabs are opting for plastic because it's light and easy to carry, or they're drawn to its flashy colors. Scientists agree that plastic pollution harms wildlife and inhabitants in many ways, but it isn't clear that the crabs are in any danger. It's really an amazing example of the beauty of adaptation, how some animals are coping with the Anthropocene age, Yagiello says. What are the long-term consequences of these adaptations? We don't know. By Shay Mons. At the bottom on the left is a picture of someone taking a photograph of a chipmunk. Headline, Internet Ecology. To study hermit crabs, researchers used iEcology, or Internet Ecology. It's a way of doing research. It uses information on the Internet to spot patterns in the natural world. For this study, researchers looked at photos of hermit crabs that people had posted online. iEcology isn't perfect. The data can be biased. For example, people are more likely to take and post a photo of a hermit crab in a plastic shell than in a snail shell, because it's more surprising. Page 6. Your job, careers. Recycling food. Composters work with people and companies to recycle food and help the environment. Power words for this article: commercial, adjective, referring to businesses. Steward, noun, a person responsible for caring for something. Robert Kurtz finds himself working right in the middle of a composting revolution. Kurtz is a commercial solutions manager at Rust Belt Riders. The composting company is based in Cleveland, Ohio. Its goal is to fight climate change by recycling as much food waste as possible. If we're going to meet the climate goals that have been set out by our leaders and scientists, we're going to have to tackle food waste, Kurtz told Time for Kids. It's a huge part of the problem. Composting 101. Wasted food winds up in landfills. As it breaks down, it creates a gas called methane. Methane traps heat in the atmosphere, and that fuels climate change. The United States Environmental Protection Agency says the average family in the U.S. spends $1,500 per year on food that doesn't get eaten. Businesses waste food, too. That's where Kurtz's job comes in. Every day, Kurtz contacts grocery stores, restaurants, and other food service businesses. He educates them about the harmful effects of food waste. Then he asks if they're willing to change the way they dispose of their excess food. So far, Rust Belt Riders has persuaded 300 companies and 2,800 households to do something differently with their food waste. The company's 7 trucks and 30 employees pick up their clients' extra food. Then they compost it, turning it into soil. Compost soil is much more than just dirt. It's made up of 5 ingredients that combine to help plants thrive. That's why Kurtz and his colleagues at Rust Belt Riders offer a second service. They sell the composted, nutrient-rich soil to people and businesses that need it. Student impact. In addition to partnering with households and businesses, Rust Belt Riders has teamed up with local schools. At Densler Elementary in nearby Parma, Ohio, Rust Belt Riders helps the kitchen staff compost its food scraps. The 500 students place their food waste into bins during lunch periods. The bins are then collected by Rust Belt Riders. Emily Cass is a farm-to-school coordinator at Densler. This program has created a space for all students to become environmental stewards in their own cafeteria when they might not otherwise have the opportunity, Cass says. By Joe Levitt. Your job, find your future. Did you enjoy learning about people who are working to protect the planet? Scan this code to discover other impactful careers in environment and sustainability, such as hurricane hunter, landscape architect, zoo caretaker. Page 7. Photos about the Rust Belt riders. At the top of the page, a gentleman in overalls is collecting two bins from one of the schools. The caption reads, "Hauling waste." Sturdy bins like these make it easy for businesses to dispose of food scraps with Rust Belt riders. In the center on the left, a woman is dumping a bucket into a bigger box of food scraps. The caption reads, "Scrapping. Daily Rust Belt riders transports truckloads of waste to be made into compost." On the right, a school coordinator holds up a bag of food to be recycled. The caption reads, "Joining in. Coordinators help students and school cafeterias become part of the food waste solution." In the lower left, a gentleman is demonstrating how to start a compost bin with buckets of scraps and some wire mesh. The caption reads, "Getting started. At a farmer's market, a demonstrator shows others how to make a compost pile." Page 8, U.S. On this page, there are 5 pictures regarding the cicadas that will be loose this spring. In the top left, a student holds a cicada. The caption reads, "Look around. Do you live in a state expecting cicadas this year? If so, how many can you spot?" In the top right, a close-up view of a cicada. The caption reads, "Bug-eyed. Huge red eyes make periodical cicadas easy to identify." In the center, just to give you a perspective of their size, a cicada sitting on top of a golf ball. In the lower left, a full-grown cicada with wings. The caption reads, "All grown up. This cicada is now an adult left. It has shed its childhood skin." And on the bottom right, a group of cicadas on a stalk of grass. The caption reads, "Hi, friends. These cicadas are members of Brood 10. They emerged in 2021. Page 9. Cicada Spring. People in parts of the United States will encounter an unusual number of cicadas this year. Don't worry, they're harmless. Power words for this article: brood, noun, group, family, noun, a scientific grouping of related animals. Periodical, adjective, recurring after an expected period of time. More than a trillion cicadas are coming to the United States. Two broods of the red-eyed flying insects are emerging from the ground this month. People in the Midwest and Southeast should expect a season of high-pitched buzzing. Brood 19 cicadas show up every 13 years. Brood 13 cicadas show up every 17 years. The last time these two broods arrived together was more than 200 years ago in 1803. Here's what to know about this rare event. What are cicadas? Cicadas are in the same family as stink bugs and bed bugs. For more than a decade, they live in burrows 7 to 8 inches underground, and then, when they're mature enough, they make their way out. Weeks before they're expected to emerge, cicadas build tunnels to the surface, but they don't come out of their burrows until the soil temperature warms up to about 64 degrees Fahrenheit. Cicadas are unusual because of their lengthy lifespan, but they don't live very long once they're out of the ground. After they emerge, they have only 4 to 6 weeks to mate before they die. Periodical cicadas are about an inch long. Their wingspan is about twice that length. They're identified by their orange wing veins and big red eyes. There are 7 different species, 3 of which surface every 17 years. The other 4 emerge every 13 years. Most cicadas show up right on time, but sometimes they count the years wrong. For instance, people were surprised when thousands of cicadas emerged in the year 2000, 4 years ahead of schedule. What to expect? Cicadas will be seen across several states. Probably only two, Illinois and Indiana, will get to see both broods. Brood 13 might appear in Iowa, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Brood 19 might be seen in Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, North and South Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Virginia. The male cicada's mating call is a loud buzz. Many people find it annoying, but cicadas are harmless to humans. See Insect Impact. They don't sting or bite. By Sulseri Bulgra, for Time, adapted by TFK Editors. At the bottom left of the page, a hawk holds on tight to a cicada. Headline, Insect Impact. The Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, says cicadas can have a positive impact on nearby plants and animals. They're a great food source for birds, such as hawks, left. And they're nutritious for the soil as they decompose. Cicadas won't be harmful to flowers or fruit because they only consume sap from trees and shrubs. Female cicadas can damage a young tree if they lay their eggs in its branches. To protect trees, the EPA suggests covering them with mesh or netting. Cicada Safari is a website created by Mount St. Joseph University in Ohio. It suggests wrapping a tree's branches with cheesecloth to keep cicadas away. Page 10. Business. Ready for love. The loved before toy adoption agency has given new homes to more than 50,000 soft toys. Power words for this article: perception, noun, a commonly held idea about something. Secondhand, adjective, used. Charlotte Liebling considers herself a world watcher, someone who carefully observes the world around her. Here's an example. When she was in college, Liebling volunteered at a store that sold secondhand goods. She observed people bringing in items to donate, including stuffed toys. Liebling could tell that the toys held great sentimental value for their owners, so she felt sad when the toys were sold very cheaply, put in the dog toy section, or worse, thrown away. One night, when she got home from work, Liebling started doing some research. She realized this wasn't happening only in her town. Worldwide, she learned millions of toys end up in landfills every year. All through the night, Liebling scribbled ideas on sticky notes and posted them on her walls. If we can change the perception that stuffed toys lose their value once they've been loved, she recalls thinking, then we can show people that they have so much left in them and give them to others. That's how the Loved Before Toy Adoption Agency began. How it works. The process starts when someone donates a soft toy. People can do so through the mail or by taking a toy to a local drop-off point in the United Kingdom. That's where the company is based. Liebling is making plans to expand to the United States soon. The original owner writes down the name of the toy and a story about it. This can include the creature's likes and dislikes, its favorite things to do, and an adventure it's been on. Liebling and her team believe that sharing what makes this toy unique helps potential new owners understand its value. Next, the toy is cleaned, photographed, and packaged with its name and story. Every Monday, toys are posted for adoption on the Loved Before website. The company makes a charitable donation of at least half of the profit from the sale of each toy. Think twice. Since its creation in 2019, Loved Before has sold more than 50,000 stuffed toys. But the company's goal is more than just trying to save some toys from landfills, Liebling says. we're trying to change perceptions on a really wide level. She explains that Loved Before hopes to teach kids about the value of loving secondhand things again, in the hopes that it will go far beyond the idea of teddy bears. By Sarah Johnson. At the bottom of the page is the press pass for Kid Reporter Audrey Owolo. Headline, The Kid Report. When I was younger, I loved the band BTS. I had a doll of one of my favorite members, V. My uncle gave him to me as a present for my birthday. I was very happy when I found out. When I first got V, I never wanted to be separated from him. Even with all the other stuffed animals I had, he was my favorite for a very long time. I always took him to sleepovers and sometimes took him in the car with me on road trips. I even made him a bed out of blankets to sleep in. V had a very special place in my heart, and he still does, even now. By TFK Kid Reporter Audrey Owolo. Page 11. A photo collage of Loved Before creatures and two new owners of Loved Before pets. In the photo collage at the top left is a green frog. Beneath that is a red lobster. On the right of the frog is a beige bunny in its box. And right below the bunny is an adorable pink pig. The caption reads, "Lots of love. Loved Before accepts donations of stuffed toys. The company refreshes them and takes their picture. Then it packages them in an environmentally friendly box, ready to ship." On the lower left, a young student with a giraffe and the wrappings from Loved Before. The caption reads, "New home. A Loved Before customer unwraps her newly adopted stuffed toy, Dua, the giraffe." On the lower right, a picture of a very young Charlotte Liebling when she was a kid holding one of her favorite toys. The caption reads, "Favorite friend. Charlotte Liebling, who founded Loved Before, shows off a beloved bear in a childhood photo." Page 12. Kid Central. Color our world. People everywhere celebrate Earth Day on April 22nd. It's a day set aside for us all to do our part to help the planet. But you don't have to wait for April 22nd to show your appreciation for the environment. That's something we can and should do year-round. In honor of Earth Day, Time for Kids teamed up with Take Action Global. It's a nonprofit group that raises awareness of climate issues. Together, we put out a call to students in schools everywhere. We asked them to make art in response to these three themes: planet plus people as partners, planet versus plastic, and Earth as an ecosystem. The artwork on these pages represents a small portion of the outstanding submissions we received. Can you tell which theme each artist was responding to? Which is your favorite? Share your thoughts and your own Earth Day artwork at tfkeditors@time.com. By Allison Singer. Page 15. Time Off. Earth Day Reads. We asked TFK Kid reporters to read three books with environmental themes. Here are their reviews. Are you looking for a book to read for Earth Day? These new books explore the theme of the environment in different ways. The Case of Eelgrass Bog uses fantasy and magic to make an important point. The Secret Language of Birds takes place in our world, but with fictional characters. And nonfiction books, such as The Monarch Effect, entertain readers with facts. Which book appeals most to you? By Christina Fernandez. On the left, The Curse of Eelgrass Bog. Ever since her parents embarked on an expedition, Kes Pedrock has struggled to maintain her family's unnatural history museum. Nearby is a marshland called Eelgrass Bog. She feels a strange connection to the place. It is rumored to be home to witches and demons. The Curse of Eelgrass Bog by Mary Averling is for kids who want to read a captivating mystery that involves the supernatural, including a possible witch, by TFK kid reporter Alexa O. In the center, the monarch effect. Have you ever wondered where monarch butterflies go in the winter? What about where they come from? The Monarch Effect by Dana L. Church is sure to answer these questions and more. The book follows the monarch through its transformation from caterpillar to butterfly. You'll learn how monarchs migrate and reproduce, and you'll learn why they're endangered. Readers of all ages will love this book, especially nature lovers. By TFK kid reporter Dylan Patel. And on the far right, The Secret Language of Birds. This book by Lynn Kelly tells the story of Nina. She's a teenager who's fascinated with a strange bird. Nina is determined to understand how the bird communicates. She learns about the bird's language, and readers learn about how birds talk to one another. Get ready for a journey of discovery. The Secret Language of Birds is perfect for readers who enjoy stories about curious kids and nature's wonders. By TFK kid reporter Abhijay Patluri. Page 16 is the back cover. It depicts the Times Kid of the Year and many of the candidates from previous years. In the center, it says, headline, Apply Now. Who will be Times 2024 Kid of the Year? We're looking for young people ages 8 to 16 who've done something outstanding. Ask a teacher, parent, or guardian to nominate you at ti.me/KOTY apply. This has been Time for Kids, the April 12th, 2024 edition. I'm Jane Malucci for Chris.